granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Okay? So we have the second beast that rises up out of the earth. The first one rose up out of the sea, and we said the sea described what? The sea described the sea of nations, the Gentile nations. So it appears that this political antichrist, if you want to call him that, this lawless one, he rises up out of the sea of nations, out of the Gentile peoples. Now, this next one, it says, rises up out of the earth. Now, there's place in the Old Testament the earth relates to and is typological or figurative of the land of Palestine or Israel. Okay? So it appears that this false prophet rises up out of Israel and comes to power in Israel, which makes total sense because you've got Jewish people that are heavily involved in this situation. What are the Jewish people today in the land of Israel looking for? They're longing for something. You can go there and see it on billboards and on big posters. They're saying Messiah is coming. Okay? And so they're looking for their Messiah. Why are they looking? He already came. But we know from Scripture they denied him and they denounced him and missed their king. Okay? That's why the kingdom's been put on hold now for 2,000 years. All right? So that took place. King already came, but they're looking for their king to come. And so this one, there's got to be something coming up out of their religious system that would deceive them. And we know there's going to be a great deception. And there's the reason that Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand, it's time for you to get out of Jerusalem, because this is not the Messiah. Okay? It's not the prophet you were looking for. And so they're to be aware of that. So that's what it appears, that he rises up out of Israel. Now notice he has two horns like a lamb. What do horns speak of in the Scriptures? So again, there's figurative language in this, and there's always these signs and symbols throughout the book of Revelation. What do horns speak of in the Scriptures? Authority. Okay, so he has authority. What does he think the lamb aspect would speak of? When we think of, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, what is the Lamb of God? He's a religious figure. Okay? And so there's this issue where he has horns and authority, and he's like a lamb, but there's a problem with him. How does he speak? He speaks like a dragon. Who's the dragon? Okay, so he speaks error. He doesn't speak the truth. He speaks the errors of Satan because he's empowered by Satan. Okay, and he's led by Satan, so he speaks like it. Jesus said, beware of those who come what? In sheep's clothing, but they're really, what are they? They're ravenous wolves. So that's what this is. This is one who's one of those who comes in sheep's clothing, but really is a ravenous wolf. He speaks like a dragon and comes to speak that which is contrary to the things of God, that is anti-Christ. Okay, so he's not going to be speaking the things of Christ, but those things that are opposed to Christ and contrary to Christ. Now, same problem that was happening back there when John wrote his epistle, right? There's this group of people that are coming in and they're claiming to be Christians, but they do what? They deny that Jesus is the Christ. They deny that he's of the Father, that he came in the flesh. When we deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, then we've denied every aspect of who he is, haven't we? Okay, if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, then there was no what? Resurrection. Okay, if there's no resurrection, there is no what? There is no salvation. Okay, there is no reason for us to even be here today if there wasn't a resurrection. And there was a group of people in those days that were denying that. And John said they're antichrists. Okay, and he said they went out from us because they were really never of us. Because the one who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God is not of us. Okay, that's how you can always tell. If there's a preacher sitting in the pulpit and he doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he's an antichrist, has the antichrist spirit, it'd be time for you to leave if you have that happening. Okay, and unfortunately that's happening today. Okay, that's happening within the church today. Anyway, so we see that that's what this one is. He speaks like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast while he's in his presence. So he gets his power from the first beast. The first beast got his power from who? The dragon, directly from Satan. In fact, Satan is the very one who has the 10 horns on his head and the 7 heads and the diadems on his head. And so Satan himself is described as that, and that last beast was described the same way, wasn't he? So he gets his authority from the first beast, and he causes the earth and those who dwell in the earth to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, it appears that that aspect of worship and his desire to get people to worship the first beast all relates to what happens right around the middle of the tribulation. Okay, and this will also relate to the opening of the second seal that we'll get into next week. We're not going to deal with that today, but it's the timing is about where that all happens in the tribulation. So he's causes those on the earth, those who dwell on the earth, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And again, we talked about that, and I said, you know, I believe the deadly wound that was healed related to the regathering of the empire, but seemingly it relates to the very head of that empire and something that happens to him too, okay? And I'm thinking that, you know, what's the picture? Well, a false resurrection or something like that took place with Jesus. And it causes everybody to go, oh man, look at this. I mean, if you saw someone who appeared to be dead or was dead and you saw them raised from the dead, and this is on CNN, it won't be on Fox, but no, it'll probably be on Fox. So you see it all over the world, you see it on the internet, and you see this whole thing happening, it's going to be something that's going to cause the whole world to go, whoa, that's pretty amazing, okay? So something taking place there. And so he's bringing the people into a place where he's wanting them to worship the first beast and gathering them to do that. In verse 13, it says he performs great signs so that even he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So we know that the revealing of the lawless one from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the revealing of the lawless one comes with lying signs and wonders. Now, they both have the power to do lying signs and wonders, but apparently it's this one's lying signs and wonders that is part of the revealing of the lawless one. When does the lawless one actually get fully revealed? This first beast, when does he get fully revealed? When he comes on the scene and declares himself to be God in the temple of God. Now, he's made a covenant 3.5 years before that, but nobody's paying attention to who he is. They think he's a Messiah figure. Okay, it's what everybody in the world's been looking for, but all of a sudden, at the middle of the tribulations, where his real revealing happens, and it's right around that time that these lying signs and wonders are taking place that are trying to bring him into that situation, or, you know, trying to exalt him into that position, right? So part of the lying signs and wonders are that he's able to do what? He makes fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. Now remember I said in Revelation 16, 20, and 19, he's called what? The false prophet. So that's what his delineation is the false prophet. Now, was there one who in the Old Testament called fire down from heaven? And it happened. Who was that? Elijah. And what was Elijah said to do before the coming of the Messiah? Elijah was to come and be the forerunner to the coming of the Messiah and announce his coming. Now, Jesus said something about another man that he, if you'll accept it, came in the what? Spirit and power of Elijah. Who was that? Was that accepted? No, it wasn't accepted. Now, the idea is Elijah will come again before the Messiah comes and sets up his kingdom, or one in the spirit of Elijah. This guy's calling fire down from heaven. He's the false prophet. You suppose he's masquerading himself as being Elijah? Okay, very interesting. I kind of get the sense that that's what he's doing. Okay, so he's doing that. Yeah, Marcy.
I just need a clarification.
Okay, go for it.
Who are they? Okay. The people are getting prepped to worship this person.
Okay.
Whom do they worship? Do they worship this prophet?
The political leader, the first beast. He's trying to get them to worship the first beast. Yeah, so he's, and in one sense, what we have going on here too, in Revelation 16, 13, you guys can read that, or we'll go read it in a minute. we have also kind of a false trinity going on, a satanic trinity. You've got Satan himself, you have the first beast, and you have the false prophet. And what's one of the things the Holy Spirit does today, and what's one of his jobs? What's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit today? To cause us and bring us into the place where we worship the Father and the Son, right? So in one sense, this false prophet is also acting in kind of like the Holy Spirit in a way, as part of this false trinity, bringing worship to this first beast, which is coming as the lawless one, okay? But I think here, it may be that picture for the nation of Israel, Elijah has come. The Messiah is on his way, because they were told Elijah would come as the forerunner. So it fits perfectly with the whole scene for Israel, who's rejected their king in the past and is looking for him to come today. So it seems to be that that's what the picture is here. We're going to go over all this again when we get to 13. Remember, we're only in chapter 6. I told you guys we're going to go very deep into this time, okay? Anyway, let's move on here because I'm hungry. So he performs these great signs, even making fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted you in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Okay, so now he's telling the people on the earth to make an image to the beast who was had the wounded head and then lived. So what do you suppose that is? Okay, Daniel told us that we need to be on guard for what? In the middle of the week, this one was going to come and set up an abomination. He's going to put it into sacrifice and offering. Where's the sacrifice and offering taking place, by the way? In a restored or rebuilt temple. Okay, so as soon as the Antichrist, this lawless one, makes this covenant with Israel, guess what? The temple's going up just like that. And you go, really? Yeah. Google the Temple Institute, okay? And you'll find out there's this organization in Israel called the Temple Institute, and they are ready to rebuild their temple. What's holding them back from building their temple? Us, the temple of God, is still here. As soon as this temple is raised up out of the way, they're going to rebuild their temple. Then there's going to be the ability for the Antichrist, or this one, to come and put an end to sacrifice and offering. The first beast will put an end to the sacrifice and offering, and this beast is going to have this image made by the people. And where do you suppose that image is going to go? Matthew said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, this image that's made and is put in the holy place, and they're supposed to worship it. And we're going to find out here in a second, it's a talking image. This gets bizarre here in a minute, okay? So it's in the holy place. That's the abomination of desolation that's going on, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Matthew 24:15. Jesus said, when you see that, warning to those who are in Israel and Jerusalem in those days, get out of Jerusalem, flee to the mountains. God's got a hiding place for you, and you better go. If you don't take heed to that, you're in trouble. There's going to be a lot of Jews who will not take heed. They're going to lose their lives in that time, okay? Really, it's only a third of the nation of Israel, we find out from Zechariah, that actually is saved, okay? Two-thirds of the nation will be destroyed in the tribulation. Now, not because God's not merciful, but because they reject, again, the testimony of God and choose to believe the lie. In verse 15, it says, and he was granted power. So this beast here that's come up out of the earth is granted to give breath to the image of the beast. That's spooky. Okay, so once again, we're seeing supernatural things that Satan does not have the power to do now, but apparently God allows that power to take place in those days. It says he gives breath. Who gives breath? What is breath? Breath is life. That's a creative act of God and God alone. And yet here, this one has the ability to give breath to the image of this beast, that he should speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. I mean, we're talking about some scary stuff here that's going to delude people. You know, it seems to be that this beast has creative power. Okay? That's well beyond what Satan has right now. But in one sense, God is pulling his hands back during the tribulation, and he's letting Satan have his heyday. What does Satan want to do all along? He wants to be worshipped as God. He wants to set up his kingdom. God's going to say, go ahead, have at it. It's yours. Have at it. See how it works. Okay? It's going to come to a screeching halt God is going to destroy the beast with the brightness of his coming. Isn't that interesting? The only one that gets destroyed with the brightness of his coming is the beast. I don't even know what that means, but anyway, it's going to happen. It comes to his end. So he's granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many not to worship the image to be killed. Okay? So this is where we get into the second seal being open. Okay? And what we start to see is this destruction, peace being taken from the earth. So this false peace that came with the white horse, this political leader that gave this false peace, this is when it starts to be taken away and peace is removed from the earth. So like I said, it's a short-lived peace. It isn't the peace of Jesus Christ. It's a short-lived peace. It's the peace of this false one. And so then he has those that won't worship the image of the beast to be killed. So, if somebody's still on the earth in that day, they won't take the mark of the beast, they don't want to worship the image of the beast, what's their destiny? It's to be killed. Okay, so that seems to be what the issue is there. Verse 16, it says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand and right hand or on their foreheads. And so there's this image of the beast there, and then this one causes everyone. So there's nobody excluded from this, to take the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And they take it on either their right hand or their forehead. Okay? And we've all talked about, and we all hear talk of the mark of the beast. And what is the mark of the beast? You know, is it these RFID tags that they're inserting in cats and dogs and sheep and cows and everything right now? And starting to experiment in people. And they've even had places in a little town in Australia, they gave everybody a little computer chip in their right hand and they could go into the stores and they could scan it. And that was how they were doing their commerce as a test run. Is it that? Probably that, but what we're also talking about here is something that people have made a decision to do. Just as you and I have made a decision to place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, these people who receive this mark have made a choice to place their hope and their trust in the Antichrist. Okay? So it's a decision they've made. It's not just something that's totally forced upon them. These people that take that are willingly taking it and saying, we're worshiping this one. This is who we believe is God. And so it's a decision that they've made. And it comes with, apparently, a mark of some kind or a name that someone receive. And I don't know if it's this technology that's out there right now. It makes perfect sense that it would be because it does have something to do with the commercial system. We think about that and you go, wow, isn't that wild? Only in our time, in the times we're living in right now, could there be something that could be used like that because of the technologies we have. Only 15 years ago, 20 years ago, those technologies were not completely in place. But it's interesting today that I can take my iPhone, and if I want to buy something, I can buy it with my iPhone. Isn't that bizarre? To think of that technology is here right now, right in our midst, and all that has to be done is transferred into your hand or your forehead. Now, why would you stick it, and why would there be a necessity to stick it in the hand or the forehead? What happens today? You lose your what? You lose your credit cards, you lose your iPhones, you lose this ability to do your commerce, and somebody else gets it and they steal your identity. What's the big, I mean, that's one of the biggest selling things right now, that people are selling identity theft in church. You want to get into a good business? Get into that, okay? You know, that's one of the things that's been sold, being sold today. Well, if it's in your hand or your forehead, it's going to be a little harder to lose your identity, okay? Somebody's going to have to cut off your right hand or chop off your head. Somebody, Dave stopped, that'll be really weird. Somebody bringing somebody else's head in to do their commerce, you know, would be really weird. But, you know, that's one of the things that would be good. You know, and it's kind of interesting because this technology is being actually sold to us today. You know, you lose your cat, what do you do? If you got a chip in your cat, you can find him just instantly. Well, what about your kids? Wouldn't it be nice? Because everybody's worried about somebody kidnapping their kids. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to have a chip? And wow, if somebody, you know, Amber goes out and they find the kid in a split second. Because it's got the chip. So it'd be easy technology to sell, as well as nobody wants to lose their identity and nobody wants anybody else in their bank account super easy thing to sell. So we're in the day and age when all this technology is perfectly available. Okay? And so does that mean that we're coming close this time? I don't know. But certainly I can think back. I taught Revelation. The first time I taught it was almost, I think we figured out it was about 16 years or 17 years ago. Okay? And we were talking about these very same things. Oh, yeah, some of this stuff, you know, it looks like it's coming. And we're doing it again now, and I'm going, the stuff we were only thinking about and talking about now is here. So that makes me feel like, yeah, we're coming much closer to these things. Anyway, let's move on here. So we'll get into this again another time. But anyway, so the mark of the beast, the number of his name, here's wisdom. Okay, there's where that wisdom thing comes in again. Everybody got wisdom? Okay, here's what you got to do. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So go home. This is your homework for this week. You have wisdom. Go figure out who it is. I don't think you're going to be able to figure out who it is until that day. This is something very specific, I believe, for those when they're in the tribulation period. Something about his identity and something about the things that are going on. Number one, setting up the abomination of desolation in the temple and other aspects are going to allow people to be able to know who he is. Okay? They can calculate the number of his name. His number is 666. They're going to be able to figure that out in that day. Those who have wisdom. Okay? Why would they have wisdom? Because they have faith in God. God's going to give them the wisdom to be able to discern these things so that they're not deceived by that. Okay? I don't think it has anything to do with us trying to figure out who the Antichrist is today. People have done that. Okay? Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist. Richard Nixon was the Antichrist. I'm sure if you manipulated the name, the numbers of Donald Trump's name around enough, he'd be the Antichrist. You know, it's been done over and over with all kinds of leaders in the world, and people have figured out, well, it wasn't the English letters of his name, it was the Greek letters of his name and all those things. I don't think that's for today. So don't worry about it if you can't figure it out. We're not stupid, okay? We still have wisdom. Different wisdom for a different day. It's for those in that day. So I have no idea who the Antichrist is right now. I'm not really worried about who the Antichrist is, but I am worried about the spirit of Antichrist that is already at work in the world, and that's what we need to be aware of, as I've said so many times. We need to be aware of what this Antichrist spirit is, this denying of Christ, okay? And it's sweeping through the church today, okay? It's sweeping through the culture today, a denial of Jesus Christ as the true Son of God, the one who came in the flesh. That's the spirit of Antichrist that we need to be very, very aware of today that's going on and is reshaping Christendom. Okay? There's a reshaping of Christendom today. And it's going to end up being Mystery Babylon, the great harlot. That's what we'll see it culminate in the tribulation period. So we need to be wise to see how that shift is taking place and what some of the subtle teachings are that go on in the church today that are starting to deny Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the one who came in the flesh. Be looking out for those teachings. Okay, they're very subtle. Marlene's looking out for them all the time. Probably more than anybody I know, she's got that discernment to look at those things that are going on. I'm not bragging on Marlene. The Spirit of God used her that way and actually used her that way to give me information and stuff too. But that's something that goes on, and she's looking for those things. But I'd encourage us all to be looking for those teachings and the subtleness that goes on in those teachings. And it's very, is it very subtle at times, Marlene? Yeah, very, very subtle things, but there's a twisting of Christian doctrine, okay, and it's going away from the truth. It's a spirit of error that's in the world already working, that mystery of iniquity that's already at work, okay? So be aware of that. So, there we go. How fast did I do that? I'm done. That was quick, huh? You were waiting for more. You were just hanging there waiting. What's he gonna say next? We're done, we're gonna eat. Let's do communion. And